Well, by special request, I have developed a message to bring today regarding the single life. Talking to a few people a few weeks ago, and that was requested, so I endeavored to study what the scriptures have to say about being single, and that means, of course, not being married, and in particular for adults, but that can go for anyone who's single and young as well. But if you find yourself in the single state today, I want you to listen up, because I definitely have some great encouragement from the scriptures. God's word is full of lessons and guidance on all aspects of life. This one in particular, as you know, we've talked about marriage in many different studies in the past, and children, and one particular study was entitled Obedience to Parents. So a lot of good feedback from those studies, but how about dealing with the single people? And I agreed. You're right. Let's talk about being single and what does the scripture say? And what can we learn about the single life? What does the Bible encourage us and teach us? So I'm going to start with a question. What is a very common emotion or state of mind for those who are adults who find themselves single? What do you hear often from people? How do they come across when they talk about that?
Loneliness.
That's a good one, Sally. Loneliness, discontent sometimes. Sadness over that particular state. And that is very common in a lot of people. That if you know, think about the people you know who are single, a lot of times there will be discontent or lonely feelings. And Lester? Well, you're right. It is very often a blessing, which we're going to look at. I told you before that if you find yourself in that state, be encouraged from what the scriptures have to say, because we're going to look at them this morning. But why are people lonely or discontented? Are so many people that way because it's a wrong feeling to have? What brings that emotion? And I think the scriptures tell us why. So let's identify that first to understand it, not to castigate it, but to recognize it, and then to help alleviate some of the negative feelings that you may have if you find yourself single today and desiring to be married, but you're not. Genesis 2:18 tells us pretty clearly that the Lord God said, after he created Adam, he said, it is not good that the man should be alone. So immediately God is defining right from the beginning of creation that it is not necessarily good to be alone. I will make him a helper, meet for him or fit for him. And then he, of course, created Eve with a rib from Adam. So it's understandable. It's not good to be alone. God said that. I recognize that. You should recognize that. It's okay. That's why most people are married. That's why the majority of adults around the world are married. But also, the scriptures teach us in Ecclesiastes 4, let's look at two other passages to identify why do people feel lonely when they're single, or sometimes, or discontented sometimes. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. I remember 4 years ago, I had a broken leg. I'm single. That was not easy getting around. I just think you use a real surface meaning here. You see how much easier it can be when you have two people. When one falls, the other can help him up. So that's just an earthly example. There's much more being taught here, but just you understand what that means. It's a lot easier when you have someone else who can assist when you're perhaps not at your best. Again, verse 11, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And that's, you know, that earthly example. Of course, human body heat. What's the temperature of our bodies? Anybody know? 98.6, right. And right now, this room may be 70 degrees. So your body temperature is a lot hotter and warmer than this room. And when you fill a room with people, you ever wonder why it gets so hot? You have all that body heat, you know, emanating from the human bodies. And you're closer all together, you know, it heats things up. But obviously, if you're alone and it's wintertime, you don't have good heat in your home. You're gonna be a little cold unless you have a down comforter. But the scriptures teach us here that there's a lot of advantages to having two people together. What about Proverbs 18:22? About being married. Real quick, that verse says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing. So the Bible does tell us here, that it's a good thing to find a wife. Again, it's not good for a man to be alone. And here in Proverbs we see it's good. If you found a wife, it's a good thing that you've found. So, we see how advantageous it can be if you are married. Are you left to be discontented then if you're single? No. What does Philippians 4:11 say? What did Paul say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Philippians 4? I have learned whatsoever state I am in to be therewith content. Right? So obviously, if you find yourself in a single state today, God is telling you to learn to be content with that. So that's what we're going to study today. Being content and even fulfilled in the single life. I'm going to encourage you again that the Bible gives you the prescription to be content with that state. Now, I'm not saying that you may not feel lonely at times, or you may not feel unfulfilled perhaps, but I am saying that when you find yourself in that state of mind, go to these verses in the Bible, go to the scriptures to get encouragement to learn to not only be content with your situation, but to grow in it and to enjoy it and to live it to the full. Here's how you can do it. 1 Corinthians 7 is that great chapter on being single, and there's so much in this chapter, but I'm going to point out five definitive statements that God makes in this chapter alone, five of them, about the blessings and advantages of being single. That's right, you heard me right, the blessings and advantages of being single. Now, you might say, wait a minute, you just talked about the advantages of being married because the Bible talked about it's not good to be alone. And if you find a wife, it's a good thing you found. Well, the Bible says that also in the single life, there can be many, many great things that you can do. And that's what you have to find for yourself if you find yourself sad today or discontented or lonely about being single. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, Paul says here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for I would that all men were even as I myself. And he's referring to the fact that he was not married. But every man has his power, his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Now, what did verse 8 say? It is good for them to abide as I. So Paul is saying that it's, you know, we read in Genesis 2:18 that it's not good for a man to be alone. But now we're seeing in the Bible that God's saying that it's good for you to abide if you're single or widowed. It's actually good. Well, then obviously we're starting to see some positive statements about that as well. Let's dig in further. Verse 25, same chapter. Number two, there's five definitive statements. Number two. Now concerning virgins, again, that's referring to someone who has not been married. I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, or necessity would be a good translation there. I say this, good for a man so to be. A second positive statement about it being good if you're a virgin. So we're starting to build a case here for the positive benefits that are going to be available to you if you are single. So we see them here. That's number two. I said there's five in this chapter. Let's go on to number three. Verse 32. It's 1 Corinthians 7. And this is, now we're going to get some details as to why it's good. We've heard two definitive statements as to it is good. Now we're going to learn why. So listen up. If you're single, really listen up. Verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness, or in other words, without anxiety. He that is unmarried, listen up now. If you're not married, here's what you can do. Here's why it's good. He that's unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord. How he may please who? The Lord. The Lord. So that's a blessing. What a gift you have if you're single, that you can please the Lord. You can care for his things more readily. To give you a little more explanation there. Not that if you're married you can't care for the things of the Lord, but if you're single, you can more readily care for the things of the Lord. And it says in verse 33, the contrast to married person. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. It's not a negative statement, it's simply a reality. When you're married, those are the things that come with the family. You have a lot of things you have to do, and that's good. You're supposed to do that. But verse 34 says there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. In other words, a wife, a woman who's married versus a virgin, a woman who's not married. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy. Listen up, girls, both in body and in spirit. Be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. There it is. That's the understanding here. It's without distraction. It doesn't mean that when you're married, you can't serve the Lord, but you have other distractions. And that's obviously normal. That's what comes with a family, with children, with a spouse, when you have to please one another and be interested in meeting the other's needs and filling the other person up with everything. That's got to be a huge focus for you. That spouse has got to be the number one person and pleasure in your whole life. Has to be. But when you're single, you have the opportunity, without distraction, to serve the Lord. So there is why it is called good. So we saw three statements so far in 1 Corinthians 7 about being single. Two of them said it's good. The third one we just read explained why it's good. So if you're single today, begin to understand, if you don't already, that this is what you're to be about. Put your life into focus as to what the purpose is, and you'll find a lot more fulfillment, a lot less loneliness and discontent that we identified earlier that sometimes comes with being single. Let's look at the fourth statement in this chapter, verse 37. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. It's just like the father who is fine with, you know, his daughter who's unmarried, keeps her. So then he that gives her in marriage does well. In other words, if you're a dad, you give your daughter in marriage, that's good, that's well. But, verse 38, he that gives her not in marriage does better. Wow. We didn't think that was going to be the case when we read Genesis earlier. You know, but all of a sudden now we're seeing an advantage of being single and remaining single. That's what you have to latch on to if you're single today and you feel anxiety or discontent or loneliness. Latch on to that because it's true. It's real. How is it better? Well, look at verse 38. Well, we read verse 38, 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. What's that insinuate or state very positively and emphatically? Lester?
When she's bound by the law, that means she cannot marry.
That's right. She can't break that bond.
Yeah.
So therefore, once you're married, you can't get out of it. You're not supposed to get out of it. So that's, and what do more than 50% of the people in North America do today who are married? Sadly, they break that covenant and they divorce. So it's a majority of the married people today that get divorced. But the Bible is telling us here that, you know, you got to remember that when you are married, that's it for life. So, but if your husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married whom she will, only in the Lord. But here's what Paul says in verse 40. But she's happier if she so abide. In other words, if she stays single as a widow. After my judgment, I think also that I have the Spirit of God. There you have it. I mean, Paul is telling us that there's huge blessings to being single. And if you become widowed, it's a blessing to stay single as a widow, as opposed to getting remarried. You can get remarried only in the Lord. It's okay. But there's huge blessings and advantages. Remember, verse 38 said it's better. So you want to latch on to those verses if you're single today and you feel lonely or discontented. Because there are blessings that you can be about doing these things. For instance, we talked about the fact that you can be attending to the Lord's things without distraction. But what was the other insinuation about the marriage bond being for life? That you don't have the issues that come with that if you remain single. Sometimes you always think, you know, woe is me if I'm not. I always want something I don't have. Isn't that a common human desire or disposition? And when you're married, you want to be single sometimes. And sometimes, you know, when you're single, you wish you were married for the companionship and whatnot. But what happens a lot in marriages, it's not easy. So there's a lot of times just fighting, disagreements, bickering. And when you're not married, you don't have that to challenge. So be thankful and grateful. It's a great challenge to overcome in a marriage. And that's a blessed state to be in when you are married and you have beautiful union between the two people. But when you're not married, again, you don't have that challenge. And that's what's insinuated in verse 39, is for life. For better. Have you ever heard that? For better or for worse. In plenty and in want, as long as we both shall live. That's a lot of years. If you get married and you're 25 and you stay married for life, it's a lot of years with a lot of challenges that come your way. Yes, Lester. Well, I'm just saying what a lot of times a justice of the peace or a minister will say when they officiate a marriage. They'll say in the final commitment, they say, for better or for worse, in plenty and in want, as long as you both shall live. And in other words, meaning that if life is great and things are wonderful or not so good and you lose your job or you lose your health, your spouse is going to have to be there for you and love you unconditionally no matter what. So you better be ready for that. If you're not, you shouldn't be here ready to take your vows. In other words, that's what that means. Well, the better would be when things are wonderful. And it's easy to be married and stay in love. The worse is when it's tough and challenging, for whatever the reasons may be. But what happened to Solomon when he was married to the wrong people, the wrong women, in 1 Kings chapter 11? Listen to what happened there, because you may find yourself married, but to an unbeliever, or you may be an unbeliever and your spouse might be a believer, someone who's saved. That's just difficult and challenging. 1 Kings 11:1, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Were these Israelites? Were they of the children of God? No. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely, what will happen? If you marry and if you're unequally yoked, in other words, surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. His wives turned away his heart. And here's what happened. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. See, a lot of difficulties come when you're unequally yoked. Again, if you're single, be thankful you're not in that situation, because that could very easily happen and happens a lot to people. So you got to be thankful when you're single for what you do have, not what you don't have. That's a key disposition. And the other area is to seek fulfillment in the single life that you find yourself in. Because the Bible said in Philippians 4, whatsoever state I am in, I have learned to be content. So in learning to be content, I got to find ways to be fulfilled in the state I'm in. Have you ever seen or heard or watched a documentary on people in prison? And some guys can be extremely excited and happy and fulfilled. And you wonder, how is that possible? They have a life sentence. Well, we usually see, almost every time you see a show like that, inevitably that person has a Bible and they have a deep faith in God. And they found a way to become fulfilled in the state that they're in that position, in that jail. Well, if you're single, you got this, but it's even easier, obviously. And you got to find fulfillment. What are some things you can do if you're single, if you seek that companionship but you don't have it with a spouse? Well, how about friends? You can spend a lot of time with friends, more than a married person could, because a married person has duties with their spouse and family that they must attend to. But when you're single, you have more free time, typically, to spend time with friends and to develop friendships. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 18:24? He that has friends must show himself friendly. The more friends you have, the more duties, the more things you have to do to feed that friendship. Friendships just typically don't exist on their own without being fed and nurtured. That means time. It's talking to people on the phone, visiting with people, helping people, spending time with them. Now that's easy to do. If you're single, seek that out. There's a lot of people that are looking for friendship and closeness with somebody else. That's a great thing to do. Now, what else can happen when you're single? Typically, you may have more resources to share. In Acts 20, verse 35, we read, as the apostles recalled the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 25, I have showed you all things that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. A lot of times when you're single, you can be about giving. You have more time to give, and sometimes you may have resources as well to share. It's a blessing. Get interested in being fulfilled in doing that. It's a great way to live your life if you find yourself in that position. Now, how about a common complaint or feeling that single women often have? That God has put in the female the desire to have children. That's pretty plain and clear. And a lot of times women will get married just for that reason. They want to have kids. I know people who've done that and are looking to do that today. And that's their main purpose. It's the wrong reason to get married, by the way, in case you didn't know that. But if you're single and you're female and you have this desire to have kids, that may cause you loneliness or discontent. But what can you do? Aren't there so many outlets and opportunities with family, friends, people here in the fellowship who have lots of kids who would love to have a surrogate aunt in the family and get interested in adopting as far as, again, your time and your interest in the children's lives that you find around you? It's a great way to get fulfillment in being engaged with children because you have the opportunity to give of your time. You're more available. Again, resources, whatever the case may be. So you can do that and find incredible fulfillment in getting interested in other people's, other families' lives. What saved woman who's married with kids would not love to have another woman, girl who is single, be interested in helping out, babysitting once in a while, or whatever? There's so many things you could do. And don't discount the fulfillment and joy you can find in that. But it's definitely available, and a lot of people do not avail themselves of that opportunity when it is. Let's, as we wind down the last part of this study, let's look at some examples in the Bible of single people and what blessings came to them. If you find yourself single today and you're a little discontented, there's a lot of people in the Bible you can point to that did a lot of wonderful things or had great things happen to them because of their state, and you can look at that and get encouragement. Daniel 1. How about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In verse 3 of Daniel 1, we read, "And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs." Anybody want to define the word eunuch for me so we understand what we're reading? Eunuch, what does that mean? A eunuch is someone who was castrated. In other words, it's a male who was not able to have relations with a female and hence had no desire either for that. So here we have Daniel and the children of Israel that were brought in. They were eunuchs. And they were of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed unto them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now these, among these, were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. There's four. All right, they were single, in other words. And they were captives in Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. What happened? Did they pine away and have pity parties for themselves? No. They got busy with these things that we just read about here, and they were interested in these things, and they studied. They had great knowledge and understanding science, and God gave them the ability for these things. But look what happened to them in verse 17. As for these four children, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, the king said he should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none, like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And listen to this. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times better. So you see, they received great blessings. Because they did the things that were available to them with joy and gladness and with great prayer. Remember, we've read other places in Daniel how these three men were God-fearing. And God prospered them in their life and what they were doing. And they weren't looking at what they didn't have. They were looking at what was in front of them. And they asked God's blessing, and God used them mightily. Especially Daniel, obviously, in so many things. And he was recognized and appreciated in the province and elevated because of what he did. Let's turn our attention to the New Testament. Another example. How about Paul? Was Paul single or married?
Single.
You're right. He was single. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. The best way to summarize Paul's life as a single man is to look at what he said right before he was ready to die. In 2 Timothy 4, he's speaking to younger Timothy, giving him a charge. And we read here in verse 5, he says to Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Was Paul an evangelist? He was probably the best missionary in record in the Bible, without question. He was more diligent than anyone else in using his life for Christ. And there's a lot of you who do that same thing today in your missionary work. Not only going on track trips, but just in the local area, constantly sharing the gospel with everybody you meet on street corners, at different functions that are out in the city. And there are people like you who do a lot that Paul did. So take encouragement here. He says to Timothy, "For now," in verse 6, "I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," now here's the blessing that comes with that, "henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So what's Paul saying here? It was tough work. It was a fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. But what happened at the end of it? Verse 8, a crown of righteousness was laid up for him. Was he pining away because he was single and not married? No. He got busy doing the things of the Lord without distraction in 1 Corinthians 7 that we read. And here he did this. And did he miss out on anything because he wasn't married? No. Because what did Jesus say when he was questioned about the angels of heaven being marrying? Remember the story about the woman who had seven husbands and they all died and she had never had kids with any of them? And the Pharisees had asked him, "Well, Lord, whose husband shall she be in heaven? Which of the seven?" And what did Jesus say? Let's look at Matthew 22 and see what Jesus said there. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." So there's not going to be marriage in heaven. The new heaven and the new earth. So don't worry about it if you're not married today. Because what you're doing today and living today is more closely aligned to how it is in heaven. The angels of heaven don't marry. So take encouragement. Do the things that Paul did, and the crown of righteousness that laid up for you at the end will be amazing. Because you'll have eternal life if you keep the faith and you have indeed been saved of God. There's one more example I want to give before closing with the ultimate example. But there's a female who was single in the Bible. And we can take a lesson from what she did with her singleness. And that is Anna in Luke chapter 2. Let's go there. She's not as maybe well known. But let's read two verses and see what she did. Luke 2:36. And this is around the birth of Christ, this chapter dealing with Jesus' birth. And in 36 we read, "And there was one Anna," so we're reading about Anna, "a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age," so she was very old, "and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity." So, in other words, let's say she got married at 20. How long did she live with her husband? How old was she when her husband died? 27. Good. You're doing some math back there. Very, very good. So in other words, she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So let's just say she was 27 when her husband died. Let's take an example. She may have been older or a little younger, but around that. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So now she's been living single for 84 years after her husband's death, never remarried. And here's what she did, which departed not from the temple, but served God, how? With fastings and prayers night and day. Look at that warrior for God, serving him with fastings and prayers. Think about praying night and day. You don't have the other distractions, perhaps, that come with a family. You have more opportunity to do that. That's what she did. She was praying for the people around her and those in her neighborhood and for God's kingdom night and day. And you know, the interesting thing is, the Bible tells us in one other spot about a widow to do the same exact thing. Let's look at 1 Timothy 5. This is very interesting that we see the same thing spoken of here in 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. 1 Timothy 5, 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now listen to this verse, verse 5. Now she that is widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. See the same thing? But she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. So we're seeing two spots in the Bible where a widowed woman is very busy praying. If you find yourself in that situation today, get excited about what you can do. Do you think that there's something less about praying than there is about being on the corner witnessing? Don't. Everyone has their role. Whatever your role is, if you find yourself available and able to do this as a widowed woman, do it. And take heart in that and find fulfillment in doing that. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. So don't discount the power of that and the joy of doing that. And in closing, who is the ultimate example in the Bible who was single? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now, this is hard to pick a passage or even a verse that summarizes his life. But I think I have one that seals it for me and summarizes his life the best way possible. You ever try that exercise this afternoon or this evening? If I had to pick one Bible verse in the New Testament, or old for that matter, that summarized Jesus Christ's life, what would it be? That's a tough exercise because there's so much. The whole Bible's about him. So how do you pick one verse? But I'm going to leave you with one verse in John 15. And I didn't pick the book of John just because that's my name too. But it just really is appropriate here. John 15, 13. This summarized his life as a single person, as he was single, and how he ministered. Here's what summarized what he did. His whole life was about this. Verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus Christ did. He was the friend of sinners, publicans and sinners. And he laid down his life, not just his physical life at the end of it, but his whole life was about ministering to others. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So you see, if you're single, you can be doing the same thing, giving your life for your friends and friends who you don't even know, strangers on the street or in school or wherever they are. You can give your life by being available to share the truth of the gospel with them. And to give your life as far as putting other people first and just being about serving others, you can find incredible joy. And I will say this, whether you're married or single, there is no greater joy in life, none, than getting lit up, filled up by serving and loving somebody else. It doesn't even compare to receiving love, which can feel great. But by giving it to somebody who really appreciates it, nothing can compare to the joy of that. So I encourage you today, if you are single, take heart, encouragement, and find great joy in remembering that Jesus Christ led the way with an example He gave his life for others. Do the same thing, and I guarantee you, you will have very, very few times, if ever, you will feel lonely or discontented with that state. May God give each of us the strength to follow his word and find that fulfillment. Amen. Okay.